Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Komen, sitting once again in Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge in the heart of the Klempire with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet. Welcome, Manny.
Hey, man. What is happening with you?
Oh, well, you know, it's I had not too hard of a day, but I know you were in the thick of it today, huh?
Yeah, well, school's back, and it's very busy, so I'm very, very busy dealing with all these rich kids and their parents from the Northeast. They all want something for free. You know, you're paying $80,000 a year to go here. What's another $100 in books?
What are they trying?
You know?
What are they trying to get for free, man?
Well, they're trying to. Why are these books so expensive? They should be part of the tuition. I don't make the rules, kid. You know,
you don't even really work for the university.
I don't even work for the university.
Right. Don't need to further these tropes. They don't.
What does tropes mean?
You know these ideas. These.
Why don't you just say ideas then?
Okay. These ideas.
You know, he's always using these big words.
Well,
nobody cares.
Try to be accurate.
He thinks he's a big shot.
Well,
it's just like, who cares? Just say the word.
It's not that long, tropes.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Not that much longer than ideas. I certainly do.
Sure, sure. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
But do the troubled people know what that means? I don't think so.
Many do. Maybe some others will get it from context. You know, maybe we're expanding some vocabularies out there. I like that idea, you know. We've had some, you know, I always notice when somebody uses a new word on the podcast that's never been used before. I'm going for it. Yeah, okay. Well, you have all that very specific nomenclature.
It's true.
What does that mean? Nomenclature. Who the fuck knows what that means? I don't know what that fucking means.
Language, you know, the terms that would refer to your specific field of study, your specific knowledge.
Exactly.
Right. You would lose me instantly if we get into any of that German stuff.
I'll do my best.
Okay. It won't be hard. Anyway, so the kids, they're moving in. Are they already moved in?
No,
they're
moving in the next 2 weeks, man. This will probably be my last show for at least a month.
Okay.
Yeah, this is it.
Well, I'm glad you were able to make it tonight because we have a guest who's in from out of the country, not only out of town. She's in from out of the country, but she comes from this neighborhood. So it's I like the whole thing. It's all lining
up. So why'd you come back? This neighborhood sucks.
Well, to be on the podcast.
Oh, really? Yeah. You came all the way to be on the podcast?
Yeah, from Switzerland.
God, you're desperate.
Definitely.
Jeez. You know, she's got disposable income.
So I'm Swiss.
There you go.
Now, it's another trope.
Do you like chocolates?
I do like chocolates.
And the Swiss chocolates?
I do like Swiss chocolates.
Do you have a Swiss watch?
No, I have a Fitbit.
A Fitbit? Mm. Really? I have a Shitbit.
And where do you wear that?
Around your wrist. Right here. See that? That's where it is. A Shitbit.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if that one catches on, Manny.
It already has. Okay. There's over 1 million sold around the world.
Wow, no kidding.
People are concerned about their bowel movements.
Wow.
We should all be concerned.
Well, you know.
Because that's where their health comes in.
Oh, well.
You know, if you have a healthy bowel, you're probably going to be all right.
For a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many things can go wrong. You know, the human body is so complex. You know, it's a miracle that it works at all, frankly. So many things have to happen exactly right. To sustain life, it's really
homeostasis.
It's really incredible.
Have we used that word on the podcast yet?
I don't think we have.
Hey,
okay, all right. We're keeping score over here. Well, man, I had a thought today. You know,
we had a thought today.
Well,
stop the presses, everybody. Renee had a thought. What was it?
We didn't talk about it last week, but I had just gotten back from Pensacola. You know,
I was there
playing with the band for a few days and had a day off to hang out there at the beach of Pensacola, and it's a beautiful beach. The water's nice, emerald green there, but, you know, I'd go out during the daytime, and after about half an hour, I'm done. That's all the beach I can take, you know. It's like, I don't really even like the sun. I was picturing you. It's like, you don't go spend a lot of time out there in the beach.
I just don't like the sand.
Huh.
Sand is just, I can't stand the sand. Well, and the older I get, I have no desire to go in the water, you know, and I have no desire to go to Florida. Florida's got to be one of the worst places on earth.
Well, this is the...
Besides this bar.
This is the... It's the Pensacola is better because it's not so far. It makes it close. It's less bad because you don't have to drive as far to get there.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, you're all right.
You know, I was picturing you being at the beach, and it's kind of how I envision myself sometimes. You know, it's like when they told Nixon, you know, I think his press secretary is like Ron Ziegler or somebody, said, you know, you got to take some pictures where you seem loose, you know, go to the beach or something. So they came back with all these pictures of Nixon's on the beach at San Clemente. He's got a pair of wingtips on. Just stand there in the suit.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's not really what I had.
He always
in mind.
Had nice shoes, Nixon.
Yeah. But he not really beach guy. Attire.
Well, yeah, he's not a beach guy. He's a Quaker.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Quakers don't have anything against the beach, though. Huh?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're an austere
like
group.
They'd like to just be like in a cabin somewhere up in the mountains. You know, blaming everyone for the ills of society.
We had a Quaker on the podcast a couple
years
back.
Who was that? Yeah. Nixon?
No, we didn't have Nixon.
Who was a Quaker?
We could have gotten him on. Quaker, Ben Shank is a Quaker.
Ben Shank.
That's right, he is.
Everybody thinks he's Jewish.
That too.
Because he
of the name Shank?
Well, he has the German name, and then he also runs a klezmer band.
Oh.
And he does a lot of work for the New Orleans Jewish community.
I hope Shank I'm not, kind of sounds slang for cock.
I hope I'm not outing
so?
Him here. But,
he pulled his shank out.
Sure, it's like a prison term or
his
something.
His hard shank.
Okay, I see where you're going, man.
Oh, Ben.
We got to get him back on the show to talk about his shank.
Yeah. Because, you know, we had him on during the pandemic. So
oh,
that was,
yeah.
was one of those
God,
remote,
let's bring back
remote
the pandemic.
Episodes.
God. You would, best years of my life, the pandemic.
You didn't have all this textbook trouble.
And 2 years of heroin addiction were the best years also. That and the pandemic.
That's very close.
Yeah, the rest of my life has been shit, you know, pretty much.
There's still time.
Yeah, oh, I got plenty of time.
You can
get
back to the heroin.
Yeah.
I often think about that. Yeah. Anyway,
okay.
What's going on with you?
Oh, well, the Olympics is over, you know.
Yeah, I was watching the closing ceremonies.
Uh-huh.
And all these young athletes out there. And I thought the first thing I thought to myself after those closing ceremonies, there's going to be a lot of fucking going on. You know, you're going to see an Ethiopian fucking a Swedish person. You know, there's so, because all this testosterone and all these athletes have been pent up for 2 weeks on these cardboard beds.
Well, that's what I heard. The cardboard beds.
In.
Like you can barely even lay it down on these things. I don't know how you're going to do any fucking on these things.
Oh,
man,
they'll
you know?
Fuck, man. You don't need a bed to fuck.
Well, no, you don't. That's
you need a wall, a floor.
Sure, the hallway.
You know, a
elevator,
car, an sure. elevator. Yeah. You know, bicycle.
Metro.
You know. So I just thought to myself, there's tons of fucking going on that night.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Because I hope...
They earned it.
I hope, like, the Ethiopians are fucking the Japanese and the Swedish are fucking the Brazilians.
I hope it's
I think it's
going to
be... Because it'll
bag,
make one man. Big race.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots
know?
Of beautiful
one, yeah,
babies.
Yeah, lots of beautiful babies. Except for the Dominicans. The fucking Dominicans, man. Those are fucking ugly people. Can't stand the Dominicans.
Manny's got a hard on for the Dominicans.
Wow, I don't have a hard on.
Well, I mean that you have a
issue.
Yes.
Issue with
Thank
the Dominicans,
you.
Man.
We haven't ever gotten to the bottom of it.
But, you know, I don't even think they had anyone there.
Dominicans,
you know?
Huh? No?
They probably had some, you know, sport they qualified for.
Yeah, I bet they
know,
did.
For,
I don't know.
Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was locked
they didn't
in
medal.
The Swiss
I know Alps. They didn't medal the Dominicans. You know.
Okay, that's,
you know.
That's the important thing to you.
Yeah.
You want them to lose.
I don't like those Dominicans.
I know.
Anyway.
I get that picture.
Not sure why. Well, yeah.
So you watched the closing ceremony.
You know, it was on. I couldn't pay attention. I it was so boring.
Because you were too busy masturbating to Tom Cruise on a motorcycle.
Well, I couldn't even wait for Tom Cruise. I couldn't hold my attention. People walking in a, you know, in a crowd. I don't know, with flags. didn't do it for
didn't
me at
do
all.
It, no, no.
I mean, after all the track and field events, they're so exciting. The shot put, the discus, the javelin
well, this is
catch,
for the
walking with flags.
The ceremony is for the athletes. It's not for you.
Well, good. It's the preliminary before they all get to get down.
Yeah.
Get up to get down.
So you didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, I started doing something else. I can't even remember what that was.
So why'd you bring it up then?
Well, just because time moves on.
You're the one who brought it up.
I did. So now we have NFL preseason coming up.
Yeah.
Next thing. You know, usually like a couple of times ago, some maybe every other time, they crash the market right after the Summer Olympics. Have you noticed that? The kind of thing catches everybody off guard, you know?
Yeah.
And they started to this time, and they thought, "No, we're not going to just fake them out."
The dollar's taken a big dive in the world.
Is that right?
It has in the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's probably needs to. The dollar's been running a little bit strong,
yeah.
But
it's true.
Not going to get into monetary policy here. you know, what do they say? Everybody's a Keynesian now. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means.
They did say that, though.
So why'd you say it?
Because it's fun. Something I remember.
Well, you know who was in town?
Mm-hmm.
President Joe Biden.
Right,
was in
right.
Town.
Right over on campus,
yeah,
by you. Did you
only,
get to?
He was across the street from
did
me.
Did you get to peek him? Put
no,
him
I, in fact, during my lunch break, I went out where I always sit near the quad, and I saw him sleeping. He was just sleeping on the quad, the grass there.
Huh.
And kids were playing around him like he was a sandcastle.
Okay.
You know, he's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
You know, but then I heard that the president of Tulane was talking his ear off so much that he had to just walk away from the president of Tulane.
Figured he could get away with it.
Shut the fuck up. Thanks for the... Yeah. You're welcome for the money. I'm out of here. You know, so anyway.
Okay.
You know, he was in town. Probably the last time he'll ever be in New Orleans. And he went to Drago's after the thing.
Huh.
He went to Drago's in Metairie to have some oysters. Maybe that'll pep him up a little bit. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Oh, it's a good place. Drago's is good for those oysters. You like oysters?
I do like oysters.
Yeah, oysters.
And I like Drago's both.
Yeah, they're good. You know, now you can get the presidential meal, which is a dozen charbroiled with some saliva on it, because he drooled a lot.
I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, he drooled a lot on it.
How can you tell with the, you know, with it, without it? It's oysters.
Yeah, right. The slime
mostly,
thing. Slime factor.
Yeah. Oh, you got to eat the oysters, man.
Okay.
I love the oysters. You don't do oysters, right?
I haven't eaten oysters in many, many years. Many, many years.
Oh, you're missing out, man.
Well, maybe we should get our guest.
No, I got to talk about
something.
All
right, all right.
You know what's, you know, there's so much violence in our country.
Sure.
You know, people just think they're, you know, the shit and they're privileged and all that. And I hear there's a new form of violence going on. Now, you probably experienced this one time in your life where you go to the mall or the shopping center and you can't find a parking space. You know, it's during the holidays or during the Labor Day sales or, you know, you can't find a parking space. So now, apparently, people are going to these shopping centers and someone gets out of the car and they'll find an open space and they'll just stand in front of it without the car being there yet. And then these cars will come by and go, "I want to park here." And the person's not letting them park there because this is my space. Even though the car's, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards away, not gotten there yet, and it's causing a lot of violence.
Wow.
People like are getting shot and killed over this.
Really? Are they trying?
Parking lot rage.
Huh.
Wow.
You know? And that's all good. You know, I think it's fine. If you want to get killed for something like over
a parking space.
Yeah.
Are they trying to sell the parking space to
no,
someone?
No, they're just holding it.
For a friend.
For their friend who, you know, they came to the mall with, but they couldn't find a parking space. So one of them gets out of the car starts walking around and says, "Oh, I got one over here. I got a space.
No, that's my move. No, that's, I've been doing that for years.
You send
really?
Your child
with,
out
with,
there.
With the band. Yeah, well, because, like, you know, when you're trying to load in someplace with the like a van or, you know, something. My father used to pull a music trailer.
But doesn't the club just give you the space in front?
Not depends on the club. Depends on where you're playing, man. If you're playing like, you know, some hotel or something, if the, you know, who knows? It could be anywhere.
Well, people are getting killed over it.
If I go out that way, I'll feel fine about that, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I wouldn't, you know, No, that's a
quick
good,
and easy.
That's a good way to go. Well, just that, you know, I was doing my thing.
Serving your friends. And
you were looking for a parking space. That was your thing.
Well, I wouldn't.
His thing was looking for a parking space.
No, if I did
not
it,
playing music.
If I did it playing a music job, I wouldn't do that in a regular.
Labor Day sale.
Yeah, what I don't understand about people in the parking lots is why don't you just park farther away and walk? It's so easy. You get there so fast.
And they have their shit.
Because look at America. Yeah, they're all 400 pounds.
Yeah, well, that's because they're not walking because they get the closed parking space. Those people should get the farthest parking space, and you know they could use it.
They'd probably die before they get to the mall.
You know, what do they call it? Survival of the fittest. Natural selection. I don't know. Is that it, Manny?
No, it's not.
Okay, well, because we're getting pretty deep here.
All right, go ahead. Okay. Just introduce the guest.
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled to have this guest here. We go way back. You know, we went to high school together, and she goes way back in this neighborhood. She's a highly acclaimed operatic vocalist and master teacher. She's a dramatic soprano, a leading force in the German and contemporary repertoires. New York Times called her a spine-chillingly powerful performer. She's performed leading roles in major operatic houses around the world, and she's currently a professor of voice at the Haute École de Musique in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Very well done.
I got all that out. And without further ado, the great Ms. Jean-Michel Charbonnet. Welcome,
Jean-Michel. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so thrilled to have you here. I know you came a long way, but you grew up right in this neighborhood. Right
around the corner.
And your family, the Charbonnets, also go way back with the Clements family, right?
Yes, way back.
Yeah. So you've been associated with the Clempire.
Exactly. Before. They were my babysitters. We'll start there.
Right. Well. So this summer I was playing out on the road with the Iguanas and Sonny Landreth, and we're going to the most far-flung place that I was going to go to. It was in the woods of Maine. It was like the Stone Mountain Art Center, I think it was called. And I go to open the door, and the person goes, "Renee, it's Thaïs Charbonnet." I was like, "Thaïs, what are you doing here?" So your sister
My sister's there, works there.
And has been there for many years.
Exactly.
Raised her whole family there.
Exactly.
And we started telling Cranston Clemens stories, and she, yes, told me, said, I said, "Yeah, didn't you grow up around the Clemens?" She said, "Yeah, they were my babysitters."
Exactly.
So how much nightmares do you have?
About that time?
Yeah.
My nightmares that relate to Cranny and Dave are more from the time of Sex Dog.
Oh, okay. Years later when they had a punk rock band.
When I was in an active Fleabag. Okay. One of their groupies.
Okay. So let's go back. You were born in this neighborhood right here?
Born in New Orleans.
Okay.
We moved around a lot. We moved out of the city for my father to go to Harvard and then University of Chicago. Moved back. Lived in this neighborhood.
Okay. And
moved away again.
You had a big bohemian family. Your mother, Denise, was the matriarch, and I guess Cranston's mother was similarly inclined, bohemian type. So we'll talk
it
about
all
that
worked.
Some.
The whole mingling
of these families and the scene here in the Clempire back in those days.
I would say that everyone was hippie stoners, and my mother contributed to the delinquency of the minor Clemens.
Okay.
Guys, and Coco Dupuy, who's Cranston's partner,
right?
Also my nanny, moved to Massachusetts with us.
Oh, these are our friends. We went to high school with Brad Richard and
Tim Watson, his husband.
Okay. Yes, so they're with
they're supporting me.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're my emotional support friends.
Well, they're listening. They're paying attention.
Have a cocktail, guys. Down a couple.
I think they're fact-checking us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so pay no mind. Back to our guest, Jean-Michel Charbonnet.
I'm getting pinched over here. They look like detectives or something. Well, cops.
Be on your best behavior.
Jeez.
I have a band on my ankle that they're monitoring.
It's a federal agents.
Exactly. Now they come with me everywhere.
You could take it off.
Only when the swelling goes down from the heat.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. Yeah, it's been brutal, man.
Yeah, I actually got up and mowed the lawn today. Did it early on.
Your wife was happy?
I guess so. She doesn't really react too much to that.
When you mow her lawn, she doesn't react too much to that?
Depends.
It's a long marriage.
Yeah, yeah, we've been together a long time. So you had Coco, right, yeah.
Who moved to Western Massachusetts with us when we were kids to be our nanny.
Yeah, so you at some point go back to Western Massachusetts and you take your mom's collecting strays from
New Orleans. It was actually my father at that point.
Your father, okay.
Jim Charbonnet. But my mother probably sent her as a spy.
Okay, there's a lot of intrigue there.
So much intrigue.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
I think imagination is the best way to go with that intrigue.
Okay. Well, so where'd you wind up going to elementary school?
I went to Lusher for one semester, and I went to the free school for a year, and then I moved back to Massachusetts.
Okay.
So it wasn't a lot of time in New Orleans until Franklin and Anoka.
Okay, so then you come back here just in time for high school?
I actually, on a Friday in Massachusetts, decided I needed to go to Franklin and Anoka, and I called my mother who lived here and said, send me a plane ticket, and on Monday I moved to New Orleans.
Oh, wow, so that was your...
And I was 14.
Now, what were you doing up there that you saw, I need to get out of here, and here's a path for me? And
we lived in this tiny town of Lenox, Massachusetts, which has become a hot place in the Berkshires. It's the home of Tanglewood, a music festival, Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Sure,
so I was
sure.
highly exposed to music and arts.
When you were living there, you were?
Living there.
So were you studying music at that time?
I studied piano and flute, and I sang and did theater. I mean, I did a lot of things like that there.
Oh, you were already involved in musical theater?
Yes, in musical theater, not opera.
As a kid?
Yeah, okay. Always. I was driven to do that. It wasn't what my family was doing, but it was what I was doing. And my brother, Ryan Green, Tony's brother, older brother, who died during COVID, he was in the first class of NOCA. So I knew about NOCA from him.
Okay.
Class of 77, I think it was.
Oh, nice.
And I knew about Franklin, and I thought I'd either go to a special academic school or go to an art school, and I realized I could do both in New Orleans, and I had pretty much done every single thing you could do in Lenox, Massachusetts, except get killed in a car accident.
Okay.
So I thought it was the moment.
Was that something that happens in Lenox?
Well, people drank beer and drove around in circles for fun.
That
was
yeah.
Lenox.
Okay.
The life of Lenox in the winter, like 3,000 people.
Oh, okay. It's a high boredom factor.
High boredom factor. Beautiful mountains.
Yeah, you
high
like
boredom.
That? The pretty woods? I don't know, that doesn't do anything. I mean,
it doesn't do it for you.
It's nice to see, you know, but what if I'm there for very long, it makes me nervous.
It's like the sun and the beach.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I like the pretty woods.
Okay.
But I wanted a little more life.
Right, yeah. You wanted to hear some sirens.
I did. I came to New Orleans, and I was going to audition for NOCA, where we were together, and I got a key to the penny post. Remember the old penny post next to Borsodi's? And
sure.
I used to go in there every day for a month, and I would practice piano and sing into the microphone, which I should be good at, but I'm not. And
you're doing good right now.
And sing in front of the mirror at the penny post for a month to prepare for NOCA audition. So I was... weird little focused kid.
Right.
And I got in.
And that was the old days of NOCA. We had, we were there on Webster Street, whatever that old decommissioned
Perrier
school
and Webster, yeah.
was. You know, yeah. It had two practice rooms.
Two little cubicles in the basement.
Right, right. And then
air-free.
Many corners where people would But, you know, just
do various
like,
things.
Just like Ben Franklin at that time, we had a terrible plant, but a lot of talent.
Exactly.
And a really driven
faculty.
The faculty at NOCA was excellent.
Yep.
Faculty at Franklin was so-so. I wasn't there that much.
I don't know about you.
Well, yeah. No, my father wouldn't let me go to NOCA until I moved out of the house when I was a senior. So I had to go. I spent all day at Ben Franklin the first 3 years.
Oh, see.
So you have like half flunky teachers and half good teachers at Franklin. But it's the peers. It's the
peers were inspiring.
That's what is the key to a Ben Franklin education.
I think so, too.
Half good teachers, I mean, half great teachers, I would say, but really, and with NOCA as well.
Your colleagues inspire you.
When you see people who are willing to put in the amount of work that is required, mm-hmm. and you see them flourish behind that, and mm-hmm. you think, oh, that's the path.
I think that is very true.
That's how this is done.
That's how, right. I want what he's having.
It's not a mystery.
No.
Like, oh, no.
That's exactly right.
You know, like Bert Brough talking about Wenton, you know, being there and being, you know, wherever he was on the, you know, his ability and deciding, I want to be much, much better. I need mm-hmm. to be much better, and going standing in the corner and spending hours every day working on the tone, working on, you know,
exactly
everything you need to do. And
yep,
you know that,
oh, you graduated, he graduated the year before you came, right?
Yeah I was,
so
never,
I was with him,
right
yeah. We had this intense little group of great young musicians, and it was small, our group: Winton, Terrence, Lolis, Eric, Eli, myself. There was a violinist called Chris Hampton, mm-hmm. and Howard Stern. Remember him from Franklin?
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone to school with Howard Stern since I'm 5 years old. We went to kindergarten.
Oh, of course you did, on the West Bank.
Yeah. We crossed paths. His name came up the other day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But so we had this tiny group, which was fantastic for me at NOCA. And I have to say, like, singers don't generally practice like instrumentalists, and really most singers can't, because our instruments are much more delicate, obviously. They're right inside us instead of outside of us. But I grew up with all those guys, and I practiced like they did.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, you practice 6 hours a day, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, I sang the longest, hardest, loudest operas possible, and I never lacked for stamina. And I think a lot of that came down to the range of singing Joni Mitchell songs and the practice, like Winton and Branford and this other group of people.
That kind of muscular approach to working on it. Now, I remember at that time you were such an advanced singer for a student, for a high school student. I mean, you were doing like Weber and 12-tone stuff.
Exactly. I was a weirdo.
Like great, not hacking at it. I mean,
no, I was into it.
Yeah, and I was so impressive to see in recital class somewhere. It's like, yeah, okay, this person is, you know, someone I mean, I thought a lot of myself, so I thought, oh no, this girl really is really
she's
good.
She's okay too.
Yeah. So you had Miss Alfaro as the voice instructor,
voice teacher.
So where did you go after that?
I went to Northwestern University.
Okay.
Which had a really great conservatory style education within a big academic school. And for me, it was great because of NOCA, I tested out of all undergraduate coursework. So Northwestern had such good music coursework that I got to do master's and doctoral level classes there, which was fantastic.
Nice.
So, and then I did Indiana University, which was the opera school. I got to get a lot of stage experience. And I had an old diva for my teacher.
Okay.
Had a wonderful time there. And then I went out in the world, won the Met auditions, was an apprentice in Santa Fe Opera.
Nice. Well, so all this musical theater stuff you'd done as a kid, I mean, I guess when you're in opera school, there must be an acting component to the training, huh?
Absolutely. Well, at that point, there was some, not as much as there is now.
Okay.
But yes. And it was my nature to be an actor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to me, why do we make music to communicate? Why do we do opera to combine words and music to tell a deeper story? So
right.
that That was my driving motivation.
Now, I always feel like playing music as a musician, you know, it's you're exposed, but you're not as exposed as acting, not even close.
Opera's a very exposed thing.
Yeah.
You know, because the orchestra's below you and in front of you, and you're alone on that stage. When I watch other opera singers, I'm always blown away by how brave you have to be, and a little stupid, because it's about walking that thin tightrope of being so dangerously on the edge that you thrill people and being technically secure enough to manage to not fall off. It's rather like the Olympics.
Okay.
Vocal athletes.
Now, all right. Opera is in foreign languages.
Yes, it is.
And Italian,
well, not all. There's
German.
Plenty of English opera.
Really?
Yeah.
Are
every
they
language.
Any good in English?
Well, right. Yeah. There's some wonderful English operas.
Like what?
Benjamin Britten, Peter
Benjamin
Grimes.
Benjamin
Porgy
Britten.
And Bess.
Porgy and Bess.
That's an opera.
Terrence Blanchard's three operas.
Don't you think it's kind of silly for people just to like be talking and all of a sudden start singing? You know, like musicals?
Well, I don't, because that's how I paid for my son's entire life.
Your son's entire life?
Well, that's
so
how she
far.
Makes her living, yes.
That's how I make
What's
my living.
Do?
My son works at Sea Cave Arcade as a chef.
All
on
right.
St. Claude.
He can't pay for his own life now?
Meh.
You know.
He's a bum?
No, he's not a bum. He works right. very hard. But, it, you know, right, minimum.
He doesn't know he doesn't how to manage money. A checkbook.
Let's say that rents in New Orleans versus the level of pay are not very well balanced.
Yeah, rents have gone up a lot, that's for sure. Well, let's go back a little bit. Back to...
Where do you want to take
so
me?
So, like... Because you mentioned being a fan of Sex Dog, which was
exactly
which was Dave Clements, our host here, our benefactor at the Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge. He was the bass player, and Cranston, his brother, was a guitar player and Sex Dog. They had Nicky Sonzenbach was the
Nicky?
Drummer who we had on the podcast shortly before he passed away. Great guy.
Wound We've up. Killed a lot of guests.
Well,
so I hope you're okay.
It's not us.
Because Uganda Phillips died a day
Uganda
after.
Roberts. It was a week.
Yeah, he died a day after we had him on the show.
Well, I'm not going to go hold any parking spaces tomorrow.
Good.
That's for sure.
Good.
You know, a similar thing happened with David Bowie appeared on that Christmas special with Bing Crosby.
Uh-huh.
And Bing died like within 2 weeks of that. And then after that, Bowie appeared on a show with Mark Bolan. And Mark Bolan died a couple weeks after that.
Are you comparing yourself to David Bowie?
No, I just like to make connections. I just can't. That's how my mind works. You know, it's just.
I told Mark I would drive, but he didn't want me to drive.
There you go. He should have taken you up on that.
Yeah.
Man. Well, so
Sex Dog.
So you're in high school. You're studying, voice seriously during the daytime, and but then punk rock starts happening in New Orleans. We have the Normals, which was like the premier punk rock band in New Orleans, new wave band. What were you saying?
And we had at NOCA Lenny. Zenith.
Lenny Zenith.
Who was, we were in that little group of friends.
Right.
So we
RZA, Lenny Zenith.
RZA.
Lenny was a guest on the podcast early on.
There you go. So,
one of the worst guests ever.
Oh, anyway,
really?
I'm sure Lenny would say that was
not his favorite experience
either. Yeah.
I will say that I sang in a punk rock band for a minute in high school.
Okay.
The Hostages.
Now, was Gretchen Everett
Greta was there.
In this? Okay.
Greta wasn't in the punk rock band.
Oh, okay.
There was a band, The Hostages. Do you remember them?
I don't.
They
had
lost
so many bands.
They lost their lead singer to a heroin overdose.
Okay, checks out.
Or something like that. And they asked me to take over, and I did it briefly.
Okay, but it didn't...
But that was fun. I did sing at Jimmy's with The Hostages.
But it didn't entice you to jump in the van...
No, I don't think I was really good at it.
Go open for the Sluts on a West Coast run.
I wish that I had that talent. That wasn't my skill.
I think you dodged a bullet there.
I found my own place.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I did do it, and it was super fun.
All right.
And I got to wear those really tight jeans and... throw myself around and sing Lena Lovett's songs.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry I missed that, frankly. I was probably working a music job myself.
Exactly.
I was, people say, oh, Renee, remember the show? And I go, I remember that you went to that show.
Exactly.
I think I was playing somebody's wedding.
There you go. Or for me, working at Haagen-Dazs.
Okay. You
know? Oh, I love Haagen-Dazs.
Yeah, you like that
it's
ice good. Cream?
I love Haagen-Dazs.
It's a made-up name, though, right? It's not
totally
really,
made up.
It's not really
absolutely.
Swedish.
It has nothing to do with Sweden.
Yeah, but it's still good ice.
How about Baskin-Robbins? You like that?
I like all ice cream.
I like that Jamocha almond fudge.
There you
I
go.
I don't like Bluebell, though.
No. Really? I like Bluebell.
That's what I get nowadays.
Yeah. Seems I like
the
Bluebell.
Best value. Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. It's awful. Creamy and yummy.
Yeah. I like the. I get the three flavors.
Oh, you're a Neapolitan, dude.
Because I like the strawberry, you know.
Oh, you're weird.
No, I think it's good.
And do your kids eat the vanilla and the chocolate around the strawberry?
My kids don't live with me anymore.
Oh, that's true.
No, I can't even remember. No, I think they all ate it all.
They ate it all.
Yeah, yeah. So you're Ben Franklin and Noka.
Ben and Jerry's is good, though. I like Ben and
you like
Jerry's.
That?
Did you just wake up?
Yeah, I like Ben and Jerry's.
I like Ben and Jerry's,
such
too.
Thrilling conversation. I had to start something.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Ben and Jerry's.
We're all serious. I like Cherry Garcia.
Yeah, I do, too. And
I even like the one that's like the low-fat one or the vegan
Jimmy Fallon
Cherry Garcia.
One is good. Do you like the Jimmy Fallon?
What's in Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, it's chocolate, vanilla. There's some kind of brownie chunks and walnuts and pubic hair.
Okay.
And also Steve Carell.
Does he donate?
No, who's the other guy who has a late night talk show? What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
On CBS.
I don't know. But, I had a question for you.
Ask me,
Jean-Michel. Yeah, you're described as a dramatic soprano.
Uh-huh.
Tell us what is a dramatic soprano.
Okay. Do you want the nerd version or the short
the
version?
The one that we can understand.
Okay. Voice types are divided into what we call Fach, which is a German word for voice type, basically.
Okay, first time on the podcast.
There you go.
Okay.
I got two so
you
far.
Two, yeah.
And dramatic soprano is the soprano that sings the Brunhilde, the one with the horns.
Okay.
Basically, that would be the most direct way to say it to your public.
Now I remember...
Very long songs.
I remember Miss Alfaro commenting about the quality of your voice, that you had a voice that was that had a darkness to it that would mm-hmm. need to mature over time.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
I have to say that Bert Bro and Lorraine Alfaro, when I did my audition at Noka, said to me, when you grow up, you're going to be a Wagnerian soprano, when I was 14.
Yeah.
And that saved my ass so many times, because a voice like mine takes time to mature, although I started working really young and I was very advanced at a young age in my technical abilities. So many people would try to put you in other Fox, different kinds of mm-hmm. roles, and I always knew because of those two people that I was headed for a specific repertoire, and that it really was a blessing for me.
Huh, okay. And so that's the repertoire that you have mined. And
I really sang everything. I sang all the famous Italian operas, Aida, Butterfly,
And this is as
Tosca.
A young child?
No, I started, I sang my first full role when I was 20.
Okay.
So, yes, for opera, that's a young child.
Okay.
And then I sang all the big Verdi roles and a lot of Russian opera, and then I moved into Wagner in my mid-30s. I sang my first Wagner role when I was 27, which is very young. And I sang for 28 years.
Wow.
All over the world.
Man, incredible.
Pretty wild, right?
Yeah, no, and I was reading the whole list. I thought...
I still think I'm 28, so there's a problem with those numbers.
Well, Manny and I think we're 16, so... I don't know.
So I'm the older woman in the room anyway.
Perhaps. Well, Manny, it seems like a good time to take a little break here and refill these cocktails.
Yeah, let's do that. The Troubled Nation knows the drill. We'll be right back.
Und lass mich!
And we're back. Back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet. I am Renee Coleman. Back with our guest, Miss Jean-Michel Charbonnet. Now, Jean, I know you've heard a few of these podcasts, and you're probably familiar with the current model that we have, which is a listener-supported model. And to that end, we have a PayPal link and a Venmo link in the show notes of every show. We also have a Patreon page where we have a handful of patrons who support us week in and week out. And we do appreciate them. And, you know, sometimes we'll even have people send us cash money to the bar.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's handy.
Yeah. Manny and Renee, you know, Troubled Men podcast, care of Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge. You can look up, if you want to do that, that's real old school. We like that. It makes us feel like Bukowski or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Get mail at the bar. But this week we are actually supported by a longtime listener. He's way over there in England. He's a musician, blues musician, and Kevin Todd. And give a shout out to Kevin Todd. And he came across on that PayPal link. That's kind of old school between the two of those. It's grown-ups are using that PayPal.
Yeah.
Scared of
the grandparents.
Yeah, kids are scared of the PayPal.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But,
so he sent us some money?
Yeah, yeah, he sent us. He's buying the drinks tonight, so thanks,
Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin, for the cocktails. And, you know, so, yeah, we have also the link there in the show notes for the Troubled Men podcast T-shirts and tank tops. Also, follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram. And rate, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you're listening to us. Give us 5 stars, cost you nothing, helps us a lot. Also, I want to mention, we've been mentioning, this guy's getting a lot of play for nothing, Chris Champagne's show, a great former guest, Chris Champagne, political commentator, satirist, has a show September 7th, 8 o'clock at Gallier Hall. He'll be roasting Mayor Cantrell and Jeff Landry, our current nincompoop
governor.
That's
a great room.
Yeah, the Gallier Hall. Yeah, yeah.
That's where people go to be lying in state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe his show will do that too.
Possibly, possibly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Played many gigs there as a kid. Many
weddings. Yeah, me too. Musical theater there too.
Oh, okay, it's a nice place.
Nice space. Yeah.
Former City Hall of New Orleans, still a grand building that they haven't managed to destroy somehow. I don't know. A mistake somewhere along the line. Also, the Iguanas will be out on the road in second week of September in the Midwest and the third week of September in the Northeast, playing a couple of dates at Iridium there in New York City, and some dates around there. We'll be out there with Sonny Landreth on a co-bill in that tour up there. And probably forgetting something, but let's move on. Back to our guest, the great Miss Jean-Michel Charbonnet. Now, so Jean, you were telling us about how, you know, you become a leading opera star way early in.
It's called diva.
A diva. Okay.
We like that word.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, again, this is
it's fun to say. I'm educated.
A lot of nomenclature that I'm not familiar with here.
Well, you have divas in all music.
Sure.
And life.
But this is a legit usage.
This is what we call
Original.
Prima donna,
okay.
A diva. Well, the diva is actually a goddess. It means goddess in Italian.
Okay.
So it moved into, I think originally it was about men, divo, primo divo. And that was when they had...
We are not men. We are divo.
Well, they... divo with an I. But they used to have castrati, men
sure.
who sang soprano repertoire because they lost their... parts when they were very young.
And people say women haven't made any progress.
They lost their parts to the war.
They lost their parts to the war of the voice.
To art.
They used to castrate young boys to sing.
Yeah, so
really?
That was a church thing.
Voices
for a while.
Wouldn't change. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Church,
sing all the women parts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because, the opera world, now, didn't it start off as like a popular form, almost like
it started as an intellectual movement in Italy, where they wanted to bring back the idea of Greek theater through music, so it was about the text being...
And the Catholics were involved, right?
There weren't. It was not the Catholic Church. The castrati were, but no. The opera was Monteverdi and the poet Metastasio and a whole lot of people
Was Amadeus right when he said the German operas were awful? You know, was he right about that?
Well, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that any simplistic grouping of music like that is dumb. I'll use a nice short word, dumb.
Oh, dumb. Okay.
I there's so many German that, so
did
many
you
German
see that
operas?
Movie Long Legs with Nicolas Cage?
No, I did not.
It just came out like a month ago.
Definitely didn't see it.
Oh, it's a scary movie.
Ooh,
then I probably won't see it.
He plays a serial killer.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about horror movies.
Me neither.
Either.
I'm not a horror movie person.
He plays a serial killer, and his character is so freaking crazy. He looks like if Michael Jackson were to live to 85, that's what Nicolas Cage looks like in this movie.
And Long Legs, is that about him or a spider?
No, it has nothing to do with any of that.
Okay.
It has to do with Satan.
Oh, okay.
Satan.
All right.
Oh.
Well, the FBI agent who is following him on the case is kind of like, remember that movie Silence of the Lambs?
I do remember
that
one.
Clarice.
Very scary.
Yeah, Clarice.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, Clarice Starling, you know, mm-hmm. Jodie Foster played Elvis Presley, you know, in that movie.
We all love Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster.
So I love her too. I love Jodie Foster.
It's people of our age. Now, when you were a kid, did you ever see this movie, A Little Girl Who Lived Down the Lane?
Mm-hmm.
Manny has.
I don't think so.
Who Martin Sheen was the creep in that, right?
Martin Sheen.
It's a great movie. She's a child actress at the mm-hmm. time, and she plays a girl whose father he was a brilliant man, just the two of them, and he kind of was ill, had some kind of degenerative disease, and he prepared her to live by herself after his demise and to keep it secret so she wouldn't be taken by the, you know, into foster
social
care.
Services,
right. So they accomplish that, but then creepy Martin Sheen starts nosing around. You know, it's I won't give away the ending.
I can't give it away.
I can't remember.
Made for TV movie of the week in the 70s called Adam. Remember, he lived. It's the same thing. They built him a room under
the stairs. Yes, that was a really creepy one too.
Spooky.
Used to, anyway. Back to opera. So you're talking. So it's this dramatic form. So go on. It's an attempt to revitalize the
Greek theater.
Greek theater.
Yeah.
But then this
in Italy.
But it was a form that became popular with the masses.
It did become very popular.
Right?
Well, it started off in this intellectual way, and slowly it became a very popular art form. People would set up picnics and eat in the opera, have sex, throw food at the stage.
Okay.
It was very interactive, kind of like Shakespeare.
Okay.
Historically, so that idea of throwing tomatoes at performers, I think that originated somewhere in Italy.
Okay, but now the opera world has shed.
We don't throw tomatoes.
Shed all the riffraff.
Actually, it's so interesting.
Just rich people watching y'all now.
Although
right?
that's what I'm going to say. I mean, I have to say, it's like a politically aware young person to go into opera. You have to make your peace with the fact that so much of the idea of the art form is an elitist image. But the reality.
How does that make you feel?
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, at the time, I felt...
I mean, shouldn't it be for everybody?
Well, it depends where you live. And in Europe, I live in Europe, it is a much more affordable and really more of an every person's art form. It's so much more part of the daily culture, especially in Germany. But the truth is, right now, the operas that are doing the best in the world, in America, it's having a revival. They're small, contemporary operas, generally written in the language of the place, English in America, in quite accessible, romantic-ish sound worlds. And they tend to be about current topics.
You have writers producing new repertoire.
There's so much repertoire being written right now, and it's affordable. You know, if you're talking grand opera, where, for instance, I've sung operas where there are over 100 people in the orchestra, giant choruses, 100 people, the soloists, super expensive stage production, stagecraft, lighting, ballets.
Right. And how much are the tickets for something like that?
Well, it depends where it is. Depends on the opera company. If you're in Berlin, which is one of the places that I live, you can go to the opera for $15.
Really?
If you're at the Met and it's a star,
because they don't have Ticketmaster there, right?
Not Ticketmaster.
Or SeatGeek. Because down here, you know, people are traveling to Europe to see Taylor Swift because they can get a hotel, a ticket, and a round trip airfare for the price of a ticket here in America.
Really?
Yeah, that's crazy. You haven't heard this stuff?
I don't pay attention to all that.
Crazy
stuff,
going nuts, but, man.
It's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah. You know,
but nice that they're crossing the ocean.
I guess
that's a good thing.
Sure. I don't know. What are we doing here? You know,
I don't
we're worried
know.
About global warming and
exactly.
more
well,
people
then there's
should fly.
The global warming
I don't
thing.
Know. I don't know. It's
true.
You got to pick your poison here.
Yes, exactly.
So the fact that tickets can be $15, that tells me that this is the governments are supporting this, and that's something I wanted to get to, because I have this friend that I went to Loyola with, Robert Wagner. He's a New Orleans.
He was
guy.
Married to Natalie Wood, wasn't he?
It's a different Robert Wagner,
okay.
But Robert Wagner was
married
to Natalie Wood. RJ, they call him for sure.
Yeah, my mom went to high school with RJ.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, went to Santa Monica Catholic School.
So Rob Wagner's back here in New Orleans, but he went and lived maybe in Germany or Switzerland or somewhere.
I think he was in Germany.
And he was a very successful opera singer. And
right,
he's
a tenor, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
And he was telling me about like life over there as an artist, as an opera singer, and how much support you got.
So different. And I mean, he, I think, was in the German system. I wasn't. I was a soloist hired by opera companies everywhere. Each opera was produced by a different theater, different group of people, different orchestra conductor, etc. I think he was in the German Fest system.
Okay.
And in Germany, they have troupes, opera troupes.
Uh-huh.
So they have all the singers are hired with a date, like a day job. It's
right.
their job.
Okay, so it's like the studio system.
Yeah.
And then you are the diva.
You are the diva. Or you're the.
And in Germany, they have stormtroopers too, right?
Well, they used to.
They call them stormtrooper?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they used to.
Yeah.
It sounds scarier when you say it like
but
that.
But in America, we have stormtroopers.
Yeah.
I mean, at least my son plays with stormtroopers in some of his fighting games.
Yeah. Yeah, I never got into any of that stuff.
It wasn't my thing either.
Yeah. I can't pay attention.
I like Duolingo.
I don't know what that is either.
It's a language game learning app. I guess I just
Your son like Minecraft?
I don't think he does Minecraft.
Your son's an adult now, though, right?
Adult, 26.
Yeah. He's working in the food industry.
A couple of years older, or a year older than my son.
Yeah.
So your son just aged off of your insurance.
I don't have insurance here.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he would have.
Would have, yeah. It's tough. Insurance here is
tough,
baby.
It's tough in Switzerland, too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have it. It's expensive. Healthcare in Switzerland, like the U.S., is for profit.
Really?
In the other countries, Germany, et cetera. I also work in Amsterdam. It's socialized medicine, but not in Switzerland.
Now, I made this record in Switzerland one time, and I learned some things about the Swiss. I would come into the recordings. We recorded in Engelberg, Switzerland.
Okay.
It's like the Alpine village down the valley. And we were doing it in the casino, the main
town
building that was owned by the town. And I would come in every day, and I would throw my overcoat on the floor next to where I was going to sit to record. And I would throw my notebook on top of it. And I'd walk in the other room, make a cup of coffee, and I would come back and my shit would be gone.
Cleaned up.
And, yeah, somebody had hung it up and they'd put the notebook somewhere safe. And I was like, where's my shit?
Right.
They're like, oh, I fixed it for you. It's like, don't fucking touch
my Don't touch
stuff.
My stuff, right?
So they're the world's concierge, right? They love to...
I guess you could call them that. I hadn't thought of it that way. They like things organized.
Okay.
They do like things organized. It's a strange country of people.
Well, I'm not gonna shit on the Swiss right
you,
now.
You may shit on them. I live in French Switzerland, which is a little different.
It should have beat England in the
much better
World
than
Cup.
The German.
Well, they speak French, not Swiss right. German, so that's already better, right?
Right.
Because that's a funny language.
Now, it is a weird language. So part of opera is you have to learn all these languages.
Yes.
You must be pretty fluent in German.
I'm fluent in French, Italian, and German.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I have little bits of other language.
The interdisciplinary nature of operas, it's
right.
It's fascinating. It encompasses so many of these different disciplines on such a high level.
Exactly, that's the thing. It's the Gesamtkunstwerk, the total artwork.
Okay.
First time. How many words do I have now? Do you know what that means,
that's
Manny?
At least three.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. What'd you say?
I couldn't even repeat that.
I put you to sleep.
You know, my dad was an opera singer.
No, I didn't know
that's
that.
He's a baritone. He sang with the Pennsylvania Pittsburgh Philharmonic when he was a young man.
Cool.
Yeah, and then he came out to Los Angeles to do radio, and he did radio for a while. But he got disenchanted with show business. He didn't like it, so he quit it all and started his own plumbing company.
There you go. And so now you're a podcaster. You found your way back to show business.
Well, Manny's an actor.
And I'm teasing. I'm joking. You went to the arts.
In response to
the plumbing.
I don't know. Well, yeah. The drugs are the arts for me, man. You know.
Well, the arts were the entryway, the gateway to the drug world for Manny. Speaking of which, so we think of opera as being like a classy endeavor, but is there a trashy side?
Definitely.
As trashy as the rest of show business?
I think it's as trashy as the rest of show business, absolutely.
Go on.
Well, we have to be, we're just paid monkeys like all performers, right? Addicted to our art, addicted to singing, and we have to perform for the people that pay for the tickets, but... there's a lot of drama backstage, and then there's lots of interesting things going on. I mean, the stories, many are ridiculous, and
a lot of backbiting,
plenty of competition and
drug use,
intrigue.
I don't know. Is there
some drug use, but not quite at the same level, because we have to kind of take care of ourselves in order to put. You know, we don't use microphones, and it's singer versus an orchestra from 35.
Now, the three tenors, who was the best?
I don't have a vote.
Oh.
I love that question.
But
I mean,
if you had a vote.
I don't know. I knew two of them.
Oh, yeah. Which two?
I sang with Pavarotti and Domingo.
Really?
Okay. I never
who
sang.
Who was the third one?
Carreras.
All right.
Spanish guy.
So, Pavarotti. So, you were around him?
I was around Pavarotti. Strange guy chased me around his apartment a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that.
Really?
He seems like a molester kind of guy.
Oh, well, I won't go that far.
I can't say that, but I can say that it's amazing how that particular man attracted women and that
right?
he assumed
now,
that everyone was attracted to him.
These guys with these voices, when they have an orgasm, how high up do you think their voice goes?
I have never experienced a tenor at high-voiced orgasm, so I
cannot
tell
you. What about a baritone?
Okay.
Yeah, not very high.
Not very high?
Okay.
All right.
Well,
it's a simple question.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's probably individual.
Okay, because I would think these guys, you know, when they're, you know,
well,
and the gals.
Yeah, well,
you
I
know.
Think I think that probably you we know. Can be loud.
Yeah.
And
the neighbors complain sometimes,
well,
right?
Most neighbors just go to the bedroom when they hear that kind of sound, right? They're just excited. I would guess.
Okay. Could be.
I don't know.
Could be. We've all been in hotel rooms.
Yeah, sure. Apartment buildings.
Right.
Skid Row. Yeah.
I haven't been there. Well, I have, but not on purpose.
You're just there for drugs.
Just visiting.
Yeah, for drugs. Right.
See, I never had to buy drugs. They just came to me.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I got to hang with you, man. Wow.
Now, you know, in show business, time is a cruel mistress, Jean-Michel.
Yes, it is.
Now, in opera, does that hold
true
as well?
It is also true. I mean, this is probably boring, or at least not anything anyone's thinking about. For most female singers, menopause is a huge deal.
Huh.
When you lose estrogen and you lose testosterone, you lose your vocal folds start to ossify, like all the soft tissue in your body. So for a lot of women, that's a big change moment. And of course, you know, I was always playing young romantic heroines, and that's not so interesting for a 60-year-old.
Okay.
So what do you do to combat that? Is there medicine you can take?
Some people take medicine. You can exercise your voice a lot, and you can just be lucky.
Oh.
Some people are lucky, and some people are less lucky, I would say. But there's definitely a trend to the young, and especially post-COVID, there's a real trend to use younger, cheaper singers.
Younger, cheaper in any field.
In every field. Every field.
I mean, that's part of what drives, you know, ageism.
Exactly.
I mean, there's the fact that we are withering, for lack of a better word, but just that we have the experience and the salary.
Right, that they would like to get rid of.
They would like to find someone
and
will
also
sleep on a floor.
We take less BS, right?
Yeah. No, we want somebody that will do it for $10 an hour and sleep on the floor.
Exactly.
And be happy to get out of New Orleans.
And say thank you.
And at some point in your life, you're like, no, it's
not
me.
Not worth it.
So fortunately, you have the training to become a teacher.
Yeah,
you've been teaching the whole time.
I always taught. Well, I taught at NOCA in between undergrad and grad school as a visiting artist.
Nice.
I was reminded of, you know, some of the students that were there then. And then I taught on and off my whole career, and I slowly just transitioned. I fell on stage and herniated a couple discs in my back and had things that happened in my life that made me move more and more towards teaching. And then I was teaching full time and singing still. And then along came COVID, and it was lucky for me. I had a full time teaching job, and it was an easy way to bow out.
Nice.
And I expect I'll start doing some concerts, maybe a little opera, but I'm not really interested in singing at a lower level than I sang in.
Now, what is the award for opera? I mean, they have the Emmys, the Grammys.
Well, they have Grammys for opera.
They have Grammys for opera.
And every country has the equivalent. I've never gotten a Grammy, but I've gotten the equivalent of a French Grammy.
Really?
For one DVD.
What do they call that?
Nice.
Prix de la musique, I think.
Not very catchy.
Not very catchy.
Yeah.
It's not a Grammy.
That's not an Emmy.
They
Grammy
have Victoire de la Musique now.
Probably sounds better if you speak French. Sounds
Prize, music prize.
Yeah.
Victory prize.
Sure. Now, are there opera groupies?
Absolutely. Crazy groupies.
What are they like?
Well, I, you know, ended up really a Wagnerian soprano, and the Wagnerites are the most educated and intensely. They travel more than the Swifties. I mean, there are people that travel all over the world to go to opera, specifically Wagner operas, all over.
So you'll recognize people in the audience?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we can't really see the audience very well, but yes, I have two people I know who always sit in the front row, and they travel all over the world for opera, with the front row's kind of the worst seat in the opera.
Are they there for sex or just the music?
Well, I mean, as you can say, music arts are your gateway drug.
Okay.
So I think that
the
music is elevated past. They're not having sex. No, these are usually not that.
No. They're stalkers.
Stalkers a bit. There's some stalkers.
Okay.
I think they're there because they find that they're transported into another realm from music. How's that? They're getting high from the music.
Sure. And, you know, often these people that show up, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to characterize anybody.
I know.
We're happy when people show up to see
we
us.
We like that they buy
yes,
tickets.
God bless
that
you.
Is a good thing.
God bless you.
And
yes.
if what that means you have to talk to them for a little while,
you
can handle it.
Now, you know, I have a few pieces of art that I have in my house that I cherish, and they are fan art that people have made for me.
Oh, that's sweet.
And it's, well... It's interesting.
But you do cherish them.
I do, for sure. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Because his life depends on it.
Well, you know, it's a...
Basically.
It's, yes. This is our sustenance.
Exactly.
Because if he throws it out in the street, he's a dead man.
I've been painted by a few people in that way.
Nice.
Sketched, painted.
Sure.
Yeah, I know the story.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have to be great.
No.
Hey, what's happened with your stalker, Renee?
She's still there. Sometimes it's 200 emails a day.
I don't know why we don't get her on the show.
Which they're all... Because I have never responded to her one time, and I
200
don't...
200 emails a day?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Sometimes they're all the same. Sometimes
give me her number, her address. I'll contact her.
She has running themes. This has been going on for years.
Wow.
She doesn't show up in person anywhere, even though I'm very easy to find.
I'm
very public. They can go to any gig. My gigs are on the internet.
Or sit right there. Perhaps she's at the bar right now and we don't know it.
I've actually met her before.
She grew
up down the street from me. But she doesn't show up anywhere. I don't think she has the ability to show up anywhere. I don't think she...
Because she's handicapped?
No, well, I mean, she has some mental health issues for sure. But she has running...
Like you, she's got to have
running
some things.
Absolutely, Manny. She has running themes. Sometimes Scientology is involved. Also, Michael Trahan. Strahan. That's his name. The black guy, former football player with the gap in his
teeth. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so me, Michael Strahan, and Alexander Skarsgård are involved in a vast conspiracy to torture this poor girl, according to her mind.
Gotcha. Wow.
Now, I wonder if, I've thought this before, is Michael Strahan sometimes looking at his phone going, who the fuck is Renee Coleman?
What the fuck is this guy going on?
I don't even know this guy. I know Alexander Skarsgård. Sure, he's that actor guy, I think.
Yeah, right.
But who's Renee Coleman?
He can find you.
I don't know. But
why
he
don't
has
you
other
find
things
him?
To do.
Ask him.
Because I don't want to bother the man. He already has this girl on his tail. I don't know. Another question I had, you mentioned it briefly, voice care.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, as an opera singer, you have to take care of your voice. You can't be like burning the candle at both ends, doing a bunch of blow and drink until 5 in the morning.
We have to be rather a nun-like to our instrument. I mean, I did. I know singers that weren't and didn't, but I...
And they paid the price?
They paid the price, and they didn't sing the things that I sang. I mean, I just sang really hard things. We're athletes, you know. Yeah. We're using our muscles in very refined ways, the whole body.
Right.
And
I watched one of your master classes today.
My goodness.
On yeah, yeah. I don't fuck around, baby.
I'm impressed. I wonder which one.
And it was the one. It was a recent one. And you were talking to a guy, and you were telling him something about turn down, and like as he, when you hit this note, you need to. It was something about the inside of his voice and the way the...
Go backwards. Engage the soft palate. Keep the throat open.
Yeah, it was
I can imagine some
stuff like
things
that.
I might
yeah,
have said.
Yeah, it was kind of a heavy set guy. He was on Zoom, you know. I guess that doesn't narrow it down.
Those Zoom classes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird to do master classes on Zoom, but I get
everything
hired to
everything is weird
do
on Zoom, you know.
Yeah, it's
I don't
a weird
like therapy
thing
on Zoom. I think it's all bullshit, but you know, but I guess it's better than nothing, you know, to have a master teacher give
exactly
you some
that,
advice.
Those are
like
specifically
that
classes by a group that asks for dramatic voice classes. So dramatic singers actually often develop later, and you know, you have to be able to support yourself while you're developing, and it's a real issue because people say, oh, we don't have dramatic voices, but many times we have dramatic voices that just can't afford to keep singing.
Yeah.
They can't afford to keep waiting and working on themselves to get to the career, and that class is part of that world.
Wow, so like at what stage in life might some people reach, like not a Jean-Michel Charbonnet, not an early bloomer.
So many people with voices like mine are not ready until they're in their 30s, which is a long time to wait and an expensive thing to do because you're taking voice lessons and coaching and, you know, buying the clothes and paying for the auditions. So, and some famous singers didn't start until their 40s. But it's a business of youth, like everything else.
Right.
So now it's younger and younger.
Right. Well, Jean-Michel, we're kind of on the downslope of the podcast here.
Especially that younger and younger thing, straight down.
Well, you know, it's as I said, time is a cruel mistress for all of us.
Exactly.
But you know who will never have to face these issues is Kurt Cobain.
It's true.
So I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a cruel mistress until it's no mistress, and then we're lucky.
Manny and I are on the back nine. We understand that. We're hoping to enjoy our decline.
And you and I are the same age, so I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going up. I'm not declining yet.
Okay.
I hope.
Nice. I think I am.
I want to burn it and then.
Right on. Well, you know, I have to mention before that, your mom was a lovely person, and she was a big fan of this podcast.
She was a big music fan, my mom. I mean, I knew so many musicians in New Orleans my whole life because my mother took me. I used to hang out at Tipitina's when I was 14.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the Tipitina's of now. It was the Tipitina's where we were all together. I got to... No,
the
Professor Longhair and radiators.
Smell all the bathrooms from everywhere.
You smelled everybody and red beans and rice on Mondays. Remember those chocolate chip cookies they had there?
Yeah, when they had the kitchen there.
Yeah, good. Right. Got to know everybody.
Nice.
So my mother was a big guitar fan, guitarist fan. So maybe one of these days we'll have a little concert of some of the guitarists who've volunteered to play in celebration of her.
Nice. So, yeah, we always want to, you know, we love Denise. And as I say, she was a fan of this podcast.
I know she was.
And hats off to
her. She might have a PayPal. She would have Venmo'd. She's cool enough. She was cool enough, my mom.
Right on. Well, Jean-Michel, thank you so much for making this happen.
Thank you, Renee.
And
Manny.
Thank you.
I got Manny, too.
Yeah. And, man, so it's nice to have you back in town. So
thank
after
you.
This, you're... Back to Switzerland
from here to Berlin to Switzerland to Amsterdam, all around New York.
Teaching
in all those places.
You're chasing the dragon in all those places,
chasing
right?
Chasing that dragon. I'm trying to bake the dragon to breathe with more fire.
Good.
Nice. I love
that's
now,
my
in
goal.
Amsterdam, how much drugs did you do in Amsterdam?
Well,
because I did a lot of drugs in Amsterdam.
Sure.
You can do a lot of drugs everywhere.
Yeah, it's really not.
Yeah, but I can't. I didn't get busted in Amsterdam for doing it.
No, they don't. I mean, yeah, I do not a lot of drugs in Amsterdam, but I'm not opposed. I just work a lot.
Uh-huh. Right. Eyes on the prize, baby.
Eyes on the prize. And also, that is a down. When you're on that decline, sometimes you have to not put those drugs in so you can. You know, keep it up a little longer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been great having you.
Thank you, Manny. Nice.
And we'll see you again soon.
And as always on the Troubled Men podcast, we like to say trouble never ends.
But the struggle continues. Good night.
Good night. Oh.
In deinem Kleid, 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 in deinem Kleid,